Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight I just want to share a little something. Nothing that you haven't heard before, probably. But this is what the Lord's been putting in my heart. And I want us to see tonight, if you haven't read Gary's God of Hope, it's on his website, garycarpenter.org. It's called The God of Hopes from September 9, 1998. That was a long time ago now, a few years back, but still relevant today. Because within that, you know, God is saying, it says in Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Romans 15, 13 is what it is. That ye, you and me, we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When we abound in hope, to me, what the definition that the Lord had given Gary within this word was that what has been is not what shall be, right? In other words, what you see right now is not the end result, or what you see in the natural. And so to me, hope is what gives us a vision that our faith gives substance to. See, hope is also known, some people say, well, it's a confident expectation. You know, we know. Abraham was what? Fully persuaded. Said, against all hope. In other words, everything he could see in the natural, he hoped. He had his hope in what God had said. And our hope is in what God has said for the prayer center, that Jesus is Lord over Tulsa, and that Tulsa is in revival. That's where we're going to go. That's where we're heading. So, well, you're perfectly there yet? No, but we're taking steps on purpose. We're following the path that the Holy Spirit is laying out before us, step by step, day by day, moment by moment, and we are going to possess Tulsa being in revival. See, we got to see, what does that, you know, we have some picture when we're here at Calling in the Lost. That's why we have Calling in the Lost. Because we're seeing it, and we are what? We're saying it with our mouth. Because we know that we have faith in God. When we have faith in God, the Bible says have faith in God, right? Mark 11:22. Have the God kind of faith, the same faith that God has. And Paul said, you know, God was the one that what? He spoke the world into existence, didn't he? He said, we believe, therefore we speak. When we speak, we're speaking from a place that we say, hey, what are we speaking from? We're speaking from that place that faith has come. Faith comes by us hearing. Hearing what? Hearing what God has said. God said, I want revival in Tulsa. I want you to go to a place, not so much physically, but in the Spirit, a place in God where revival lives. Where revival is. Consistently. See, Dave gave this example. Pastor Dave used to talk about it a lot. But he says where we can have a place, such as the prayer center here, and those of you that know the old cans of tuna, right? You'd had a key on top. And you'd break that key off, and if you go on Facebook YouTube or something, you'd probably look it up and see a can like that, somebody opening one. But you put it in there, and you'd open the can, you turn it back, you know, so that you can. And Dave's saying, hey, we're going to turn it back to the place where God's glory can shine through. And in our case, he's shining through each of us. We're learning that, right? Because he came and his kingdom is within you. And if the kingdom's within you, then it's got to come from him through us into the earth. Everybody says, well, the devil, you know, people say, well, the devil made me do it. Well, he can't make you do anything. Why? He's got to have your permission first. And God's not going to do anything in the earth without our permission. Without us allowing him to do it, saying, hey, I surrender. And that's what we hear all the time, surrendering our will. Alan was talking about this morning. You don't have a life of your own. You don't get to decide. You know, I get to decide one thing. I'm going to follow my Father. I don't get to decide who I am in the body of Christ. I get to discover that. And we found ways to do that. You know, and praying in the Holy Ghost is what? Building up ourselves on that faith, that most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building ourselves above what we, our sense-ruled person. You know, what we see, feel, taste, touch, smell. What we see with our eyes and the natural. Because all of us know. I mean, we don't have to tell anybody. If they look at Tulsa, they said, it does not look like Tulsa's in revival if you look in the natural. But we know that God is the unseen one. Amen? I remember Pastor Barbara, she said, oh, God's working. You know, sometimes he's working in the unseen where we don't see. That's what faith is all about. Believing what we have not yet seen. We know it because of whom we believed, and we're standing on the promise that he had given. Just as the Old Testament people stood on the promise that Christ is coming. They believed in the coming Messiah. We're looking back. We know he came. But we also know that he desires revival in every generation, all the time. That's his desire, that people get saved. He doesn't want any generation going to hell. He wants them going to heaven. He wants every opportunity for every person to be born again. And how many believe if people see clearly, the blinders are removed, they begin to see things, at least they have the chance to make the choice. Otherwise, is it really fair? If you haven't seen it all, if we can't prove it. Paul said it in Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll just start at the beginning. But 1 Corinthians 2, which is where we see. And Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my teaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now Paul says, I'm not coming to you with these great swelling words that I've learned. Paul was a very learned man. I'm sure he could have done it. Could he use flowery words as we hear some people, you know, in different places preach or say. Maybe you've never heard them, but, you know, they try to use words that people don't really understand anyway. And then they try to define them. And I said, well, why didn't you just say what you were going to say anyway? You know, well, I wanted to sound smart. You know, and the whole point is that Paul said, I came not with that. He said in Philippians, what did he say? He said, I count it dung, all my great learning, I count as trash, dung. It's on the dung heap. You know, it's just good for nothing but being fertilizer. You know, to be put back into the ground, it's useless. It stinks, it smells, it's no good. I don't want it. To me, all of that is, but I came to know him and Christ and him crucified. Because there's power that came through the cross. Because the Bible says that Jesus didn't end at the cross. That's what we just were celebrating last week, was the resurrection power that came through the cross, but it didn't end at the cross. And Jesus then, he also said to us to pick up our cross. We allow death to come, that life may live. That same resurrection power that's in Jesus would come, be able to be poured through each of us. That Jesus would be Lord over Tulsa. That Jesus would be the one that brings forth revival through us. That each of us, let us take our place. Each of us take our place as an oiled machine. And that's where we're going. I believe in revival, we're going to see that. Each part supplying. Because we have nothing without the body. God's going to force us to be dependent upon him, but also upon one another. He said, they'll know they're my disciples by the love they have one to another. And the Bible says too that we're to submit what one to another in the fear of God. We submit one to another. You know, it's not like somebody here. I don't stand here and reign over everybody here and tell you what to do. You know, I'm going to do my part and share that vision. Help us to see. If we can see revival. The Bible says, you know, I believe, you know, God uses that our faith gives substance to what we see. And I believe we're beginning to see what God desires. That's why we say things like there's 1,000 people born again every week at the family of the person. Well, what is 1,000 people? Well, all the chairs aren't set up. We'll get all the chairs set up in here and a few extras. There's about 500 chairs can fit in this building. If you look around, there's quite a few chairs. That's twice as many people as can fit in here comfortably. We might get 1,000 in here, but it's probably going to be a lot of standing. A lot of standing. I'm just trying to get us the vision. We used to say that a lot, you know, and talk about it. Think about it. Because something else that God had said to Gary was what? 4 hours developing godly hope is more beneficial than 4 years of mindless confession. In other words, when you're not really thinking about it, you're not, you know, seeing it. But when you begin to see something, then your faith can give substance to it in a greater fashion. And so that's why a lot of times we're having calling into loss. It's keeping our hope and our faith moving forward. We release it with words. We're allowing God to begin to continue to press into it. Yes, Father, we agree with you. 1,000 people are born again every week from the family person. So we're pressing to that place in Him. You know, and if we read the prophecy that's out front, you know, it talks about us going to that place of power, that God wants people to be trained. I like this. I've read it so many, several times, a lot of times, but it seems like sometimes I'm not sure we still got that. So, where are we? Well, I believe we're still pressing. I believe we're coming to those places of power in Him. Okay? It's because he says, "For the great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, so I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place in me, a place you've known about way down deep in your spirit, that from the foundations of the world I have prepared for you. So as I lead you from place to place," it's not traveling around, but place to place, what? In Him. What did He say in 2 Corinthians 3:18? We're changed, what? From glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit that's within us as we are growing and we're learning. He says, if you'll edify, and edify yourself, you're going to see before this is through, I'll purge you from everything that's causing you to fail. You'll not only taste the victory that changing circumstances can bring, but you will taste the victory of resounding peace inside that will dominate everything, not just in you, but in a circumference around you. Remember when Dave talks about worship, that place of worship where His presence comes. I remember there's been a couple times I had been pressing into worship. You know, I'd been worshiping for several hours and a friend came over and they come out. You know, I really didn't sense it. I'll be honest, but what have you been doing? Well, what have you been doing here? They felt the presence of God. God said, I inhabit the praises of my people. Or, you know, when we worship, we're entering into those places in Him that brings that peace, that edification, that place in Him where there's a circumference about you. People are going to take notice. And that you are in that place of peace, but then they begin to say, hey, I want what you have. I mean, what is it that Miss, you know, Smith Wigglesworth had? sit down to somebody, you convict me of my sin. You know, a lot of times that's why people get angry. You know, they're getting angry at you, but really they're angry with the presence that's convicting them. Because your life is showing a light. And they don't like the holiness that you walk in because it convicts them, makes them look bad. They might say to you, well, you just think you're so righteous. I am. You know? You said it, you know, like Jesus would say, as you have said, you know. You're the one that said it about me. You think you're the king, you know. It's not that we're somebody great, but he's in us. And the greater one that lives in us is overflowing. And anyway, he's saying, this resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in the circumference around you. Oh, for the edification, higher, higher, higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I may be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those that are bound to be free. For Satan is furious, says the Spirit of Grace. He's already mad. He's like a whirlwind, stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself in a place with me. When the storm comes, you will be delivered. Oh, you'll be able to deliver the power. That's what we were talking about. The power that is of me. You will deliver the power that is of me. As Paul said, I came not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but I'm come in demonstration of power. I come to show you. Let me show you what God's like. I'm here to show you. And to me, we're going to that place where all things are possible. You know, everybody says, well, what is revival? Revival is when there's a change, when people's lives will be able to be changed by the power of God. I mean, that's kind of simplified, you know, because we could go around everywhere. You'll find out, oh, well, revival's this, revival's that. Oh, it's awakening, it's this, it's that. It's all those things. But when it comes down to it, it's when God can come and do the impossible. You know, I can't change a person, but God can. You know, there's prophecies that come forth, people that are in marriages where it just looks impossible. They seem to hate each other, but God's going to bring it about. He can change the heart. He can change the heart of two people. They're not divorced, they're set free, and they're serving God together in a place of power. And it all sounds good. Everybody says, well, let's prove it. Come on, do it. I understand that. And we're going to that place where it will be done because we have the hope. We see it. We've got to see it. That's what we're saying first time, every time. No exceptions. Yeah, I mean, we've seen some power in these days. There's some power that happens in people's meetings. But you know, I haven't really seen very many meetings where they wheeled in 100 wheelchairs and 100 people walked out and didn't need their wheelchair. Or 1,000 people. However many it is. I mean, when the multitudes were with Jesus, it says, you know, they began to come from regions round about. They brought people from regions round about. To me, regions round about is like, maybe they hear about it and fly in to the airport. Why? Because Tulsa's the healthiest city. You know, when I had my paper out, I'd dream about it. I'd think about it. See, what would the headlines say today, Lord? You know, revival is in Tulsa. You know, today, man who's been sick, blind for 50 years has received his sight. He was born blind. He's received his sight. Never seen before, but today he can see. The blind school was emptied by some people that came over. We don't know where they're from. They came in the name of Jesus and all received their sight. There was a young girl who was born with trouble in her brain. She needed a new one. She got one. She's now here testifying of the glory of God and bringing healing to others. We need to keep that. I love it so much. And Pastor Dave, he'll always talk about it. He'll talk about it. Who gave the Down syndrome child his gift? Or the one that's You know, the child that's just imprisoned within that body, can't move, can't get themselves, can't stretch out, can't think straight, can't eat for themselves, can't walk, can't talk, but lays there, still alive, breathing. Give that child their gift. These are visions that God gives us, hope, that we put our faith to. We begin to see, yes, all things are possible, Father. We're going to that place. We fully believe, we're fully persuaded that what He has promised, He's able to do. He which began the good work in us, He's going to complete it. We're not, you know, that's what, who was it, Nathan said this morning. Worst thing we can do is just coast. We need to continue to press. Continue to press in when we don't feel like it, when it doesn't look like it, when our emotions are telling us you're stupid. What are you doing here? Why'd you come to this church? What'd you go there for? Nothing's happening there. There's something wrong. That's not right. That's what the religious devils tell you. You're not accomplishing anything. You know, you prayed 6 hours and, well, how do you feel? Well, I'm not moved by how I feel. I believe that the greater one lives in me and He's helping me. I'm in a peace of God that passes understanding. I'm moving forward in the peace and the love of my Father to such a degree that every time, first time, all the time, without exception, men are healed. Now, along the way, we've seen some miracles. You know, almost all of you have probably prayed for somebody, they got well. I mean, I prayed for people that got healed. You know, stood in front of the church, and I don't know why I said it, but I said, so-and-so's got this wrong. I could be wrong, but I'm not. If you want to be healed, come here. And they were healed. I said, why'd you say that? I'm not sure. After you get out from under that anointing, I'm not sure exactly why I said it, but they came forward and they got healed. Hallelujah. But that's because we yield to that anointing, to that place in Him. But we want to see it on purpose every time. Just because we can. We can go there. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're going to keep believing. We're going to keep putting that vision before us. We're going to keep saying it. Because we do have what we say. And we must believe that we have what we say. And what we say will come to pass. And the Lord... You know, for a lot of people, they're kind of, even within the charismatic church, I hear that, they're just kind of waiting for that end time move of God. You know, it's not like, it's just going to happen. God said it, you know, it's got to happen. But they're not really pressing on purpose and saying, this is what I can do, this is what I'm going to do. Some of them don't know to do it. Not really. I mean, they have a Bible like you and I, but yeah, they're kind of coasting. You know, I'm not saying they're not praying at all, you know, or asking God for it. But it's almost like, well, it's up to God, not up to us. But we have a part to play. You see, there's two parts with God always. God partnered with man on purpose. I mean, Pastor David said it. What? If God had a weakness, you and I are it. We're it. Man is it. We're His weakness. He loves us so much. He can't help it. And He chooses. He chose, say, I have to have a man that I can work, or woman, whatever, to work with. You know, no male or female in Christ. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anyway, we're going to that place of power, that place where it's demonstrated, where it's alive. And I'm just sharing tonight because I want us to keep that vision to see it. To let our faith be putting our faith substance to that. That's what our faith does. It's what faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen yet. Why is it the evidence of things not seen? Because they're going to be seen. They will be seen. How long is it going to take? Until. But they will be seen. They will be seen. We will not quit. We cannot fail and we will not quit. Amen. We cannot fail. The only failure we can have is if we quit. If we don't quit, we cannot fail. Impossible. It is an impossibility because God is faithful to His Word. He will do it. He will do it. And the foundation toward that has been laid, but we're still pressing in. We're still moving in those things. Within the truths that God has laid is all the fullness of God. The praying in tongues, the fasting, the seeking Him in His Word, right? The confession that we're making tonight and other confession that He puts upon our life to change who we are into who He said we are. Exchanging the lies of the enemy for the truth of God. We're releasing, we're letting it go. If it's not true, we don't want it, right? You know, sometimes we think, well, oh man, it's just costing me. It's just costing me. Well, what's wrong? I had to let go of a lie. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You know, I had to release what wasn't true and embrace what is true. And allow that truth to be more real to me than what I see with my eye. Than what I see daily. See, that's something that Gary would say all the time. The devil of what? Same old. He comes to you. It's the same old thing today and tomorrow. The next day, say, well, I prayed today, and I'm going to pray tomorrow. I prayed, and I've prayed, and I've asked, and I've meditated. But I'm going to keep meditating. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep saying. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep seeing. Well, that's good. Hallelujah. I'm just going to stop for right now. Believe, Holy Spirit. Because we're going. You know, I could share all the scriptures. You know, Jesus healed them all. And we could look at revivals in the Bible, which most of you have seen most of those. You know, but one of my favorites, I will share this one with Peter. You know, they started laying him in the streets that Peter's shadow might fall on him. It says they healed them, everyone. Every single one of them were healed. Everyone. This is after Jesus. This isn't Jesus' revival. This is the revival that came through Brother Peter. He'd been with Jesus, apparently. And his circumference began to extend out past there where his shadow went. Hallelujah. Sometimes your shadow can go pretty far, amen? Perhaps it was evening, you know, sun's starting to come down. His shadow's getting way out there. I mean, I didn't see him putting, you know, laying people out here this afternoon, this evening. So that when Brother Doug walks by, they might get healed. I mean, he came to some place of a reputation. You know, he lost his reputation. He got the reputation of Jesus. That's what they did with him. The Bible says they brought him from regions round about to Jesus. All around, started bringing him to Christ. And Paul, special miracles started happening. Touch my coat, Paul. Touch my hanky, Paul. I'm taking it to somebody I know. I'm taking it with me. Hallelujah. I know you've been with Jesus. And we're going there. And we're going there. Because God said we can go there. You know, I mean, it's all, you know, we're not going there just because Pastor Dave's going there, are you? You're going there because God said we can go there. Amen? We've got to go higher than a man's word. We've got to take God's word, what He has said, and allow that truth to fill us to such a degree. That's all we see. That's it. That's what we see, and that's what we're giving faith to. That's what we give our lives to. Faith is being firmly persuaded. Like Abraham was persuaded, he became fully persuaded that what God had promised, he's able to do. It didn't look good. Everything looked dead. It looked real bad. Looked like it's getting worse. We're getting older. We're not getting younger, Abraham. You hear Sarah? Ha ha! Hoo-hoo. But the Bible says even Sarah received faith to believe, to conceive that child. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the vision came first. The stars of the sky are going to outnumber your descendants, Abraham. The sand of the sea is going to outnumber your descendants. Because I'm going to bring one through your loins that's going to birth the final Messiah, the coming King. And he's going to set all men free. Whosoever will, let him come and drink. Whosoever can come to him and become a son and be a child. And I'll give him the power to become that Son of God, to know me in all my fullness. I'll dwell in them, and they'll dwell in me. There's coming a day, Mr. Abraham. Can you believe? He believed. He believed to such a degree that even as his son grew, he said, come sacrifice him. Okay, God. You know, what did he tell his servants? Me and the lad will be back. He thought he's going to kill him and God's going to raise him up. I really believe he believed that because, he didn't have, even his son said, where's the sacrifice, Pop? He wasn't stupid, I'm carrying the wood. Notice he carried the wood up there, Jesus carried the wood, didn't he? That he was killed on, that he died on. Almost cost that boy his life, huh? he said that, but Abraham just said, hey, God will provide himself a lamb, himself. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to provide that sacrifice, and he did. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised he's going to do. And it came over time. It didn't happen tomorrow. It didn't happen the next day. It took Abraham a little while to come to that place of full persuasion. But as we fellowship with him, we're fully persuaded. Amen. Glory to God. And we see the end result. All right, praise the Lord.